Hey everyone, you're listening to the official podcast of 4playernetwork.com. Check us out at that address for everything you need to know about our community, monthly giveaways, and nightly live streams. You can even support us on Patreon at patreon.com/4player. And last but not least, you can catch the live recordings of these podcasts every single Thursday night on our Twitch channel. We hope to see you there. Enjoy. Everybody, welcome to 4Player Podcast. This is our first E3 podcast of 2018. My name is Nick Henderson. I'm joined by Brad Simons,
yo,
Nolan Hedstrom.
How's it going, everybody?
And Christopher Guthridge.
Hello.
Brad's actually going to be here for the first few minutes of the podcast, so we'll get to him in just a second, and then we'll have Chris Davis fill in. But as I mentioned before, this is the first podcast of E3 2018. It's Sunday, June 10th. We just finished recording or watching the Microsoft E3 press conference. We'll talk a little bit about... Do we want to say anything about yesterday's EA conference? EA?
We can talk about FIFA a bit, yeah.
I don't want to talk about FIFA.
I guess only Anthem. Thoughts on Anthem is pretty much it, right?
So far, we're two conferences into E3, and we're going to be watching the Bethesda conference a little bit later tonight and then recording the second part of this episode. But, of course, while it's fresh on our minds, we wanted to talk about Microsoft's conference. There's actually a lot of stuff that was covered and announced and shown for the very first time. And we're not going to really do this in the exact order it was shown because there's some things Brad I know wants to talk about.
I want to talk about all the cool shit now.
Yeah, so let's open with a couple highlights here. Brad, which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with Cyberpunk 2077.
Literally the last thing they showed.
Yeah. And also the first time we've seen it.
Yes. So, of course, we've all been waiting for the eventual reveal of Cyberpunk 2077 from CD Projekt Red. Woo! And we finally got it.
It is a little odd that they ended with that. I mean, I know CD Projekt Red's a big deal now after Witcher 3, but like it's still something that a lot of people are probably just going to play on PC, and you know it is on other platforms, so it's a little weird that.
But it's also nice that Microsoft kind of broke the mold and they finally closed this thing other than Halo or Gears.
That's true. Yeah.
Also, there was no Call of Duty on display here. Yeah, I just noticed that.
Well, that's because Sony's kind of had that.
Oh yeah, they have some kind of exclusive deal with that. But let's talk about Cyberpunk 2077.
This is. Kind of exciting, obviously, right? CD Projekt Red.
Yes.
And this is the first time we saw it. And honestly, it has a very different look than I think that first teaser trailer that they showed all those years ago.
At least everyone in this room was thinking dystopian cyberpunk future.
Yeah, but it's kind of like colorful. It's still dystopian because any cyberpunk is dystopian, right?
Yeah, no, I mean, there's like dystopian elements to cyberpunk as a genre. It usually kind of looks like that. I think visually their touchstone is something more like Blade Runner or something, but that's not necessarily like what I like about what we saw in this trailer is that aesthetically they're keeping that like 1980s touchstone for the aesthetics because that's kind of where the genre flourished. The RPG cyberpunk, I believe, was originally published in the 80s, late 80s or something like that. So you get that kind of like everything looks like it's something futuristic of a futuristic version of something from the 80s, like the hero's car. You get all those like eighties like American.
It's like
punks
Back to the Future.
Mohawks.
It's like what Back to the Future thought the future was going to be. It's like that style. Yeah,
exactly.
But like I think the
that
biggest
is
surprise.
Perfect.
Yeah,
that first teaser was very dark.
Yeah.
So this almost seems like a shift.
But they also did a cover story and something.
They haven't done any.
There was some kind of coverage where they were showing concept art of the city, and it looked a lot like. It looked like it was like broad daylight, bright colors.
I don't remember
where this was, but I remember
broad
seeing
daylight
this stuff.
Cyberpunk gets me a little worried.
Why?
Really?
Well, I think it's gonna be fine here, but the initial look from this almost made me think of like Ready Player One.
Yeah,
which
a little bit
made me a little nervous, I guess.
I
think the main character in his tone
he looks
was
bland
very kind of
AF.
Ready Player One.
Also,
my complaint about that is the main character just looks bland.
But a couple things about that. First of all, what we saw here today was predominantly like kind of like a tonal trailer, right? It was meant to kind of show you the tone of the game and like what the world looks like.
And the main character.
But we also know nothing about the main character. What his motivations are, how he acts, how he
sure.
talks.
Hey,
really.
Well, I will say,
I mean, a little bit.
Brad,
little bit.
I will say, I hated Bayek when I first saw him.
Yeah.
I thought he was fucking stupid. And then when I finally played the game, I was like, I actually do like Bayek.
I don't even think this guy's going to be bad, but it is a weird tonal shift for a studio that's been doing Geralt. That's for true. So many years, who's like this very different character. I feel like he's this older, grizzled. I mean,
I feel like these guys kind of fit in the same lane. I feel like this guy kind of fits in the same lane as Geralt.
Like he feels like a futuristic Geralt.
They're both like that kind of like kind of hard ass, like cool guy hero. Geralt has kind of evolved a little bit from the benefit of having three games and a bunch of books, and they've kind of like found a voice for him, and they've kind of played up his kind of like aging, you know, in the third one with Ciri. Mm-hmm. But I still think that this. First of all, do we know? Are we taking this as 100% dogma that character is like a written main character?
I mean,
don't
you think that CD Projekt Red would do that again? Because that was really successful.
Maybe,
there's talk. People are kind of dissecting the coding they did at the beginning where they kind of led into the trailer, and like people are suggesting that there's a character creator in the game.
That'd be interesting, but
that would definitely be a departure from The Witcher.
That lead character is such a big part of The Witcher.
Yeah, I kind of remember them talking about player created characters.
Also, I'm a little uneasy going into this because my love for The Witcher games came from like started with these books and kind of like seeing how the game sort of adapted that character and that world, and I don't have that going into this, so I'm a little...
It's a blank slate.
It just makes me a little nervous.
Well, I mean, this is just going to be the scenario where you had the books first, but now you're just going to have the game first. I'm not saying they're going to write some books about it. Who knows?
Yeah.
But I think you're just going to have to... I don't know, go with that. Yeah, I would say CD Projekt Red had like definitely a starting ground to go off with their Geralt.
They made their version their own as well. This isn't something they invented, though.
This exists.
I know. There's material
for this world out there.
In regards to the character creator, whatever, I mean, I'm sure it's beginning like a Mass Effect type scenario where, you just make the character look the way you look, and then they're just
going to play out a character. Cyberpunk universe. Customization.
Whatever the tabletop one is, like Cyberpunk 2037 or something like that.
Not futuristic
It's a tabletop RPG. Like a huge part of that is in making your character. I would imagine if they were going to adapt that as a video game, that would carry over. That would be like the first thing to carry over.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm pretty pleased with the way it looks, and I'm really hoping somewhere this week we see another like demonstration of maybe like a chunk, like a vertical slice of the game, because that seemed very much like jumping around from set pieces and stuff.
I want to see a gameplay trailer.
Yeah,
because when they first revealed Witcher 3, it was like
time they show a Witcher game, they show like the cinematics.
Thing I'm a little worried about that is because the first time that we ever saw The Witcher 3 was at E3, and that was kind of like a behind closed doors theater thing. And I don't think the public saw it for like a year,
probably
after that. Well, Nick, I know CD Projekt Red is doing the same kind of thing they did with The Witcher this week, so hopefully we're gonna check that out. But I wouldn't be entirely surprised if beyond that, like, the public doesn't actually get a look at it until
When you go in for your appointment, just bring your phone and just record a little bit.
Oh yeah, I'll be sure to do that. They'll never invite us back. All right, so other ones that you wanted to kind of talk about before you leave.
I'd like to talk about Devil May Cry 5, the most poorly kept secret.
I feel like there's a lot of poorly kept secrets.
This one for a long time.
Still, it was really nice to actually, even though we knew it was the chances of it being here were pretty damn high. It was nice to actually see it and like see what the game actually looks like. Because by the way, it did not look at all like what I was expecting it to look like.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know what to expect, and that's, I expected Dante, to be honest, right?
Yeah,
The series has been gone for so long, especially this version of the series. It's been 10 years.
Yeah.
So to see Nero again is very odd.
Now, is the only reason that we're assuming it's Nero is because we saw him rev the sword handle.
That, and he's wearing blue, and...
But I mean,
it might not be
it's
Nero?
Like, what if it's Dante with just cut his hair?
We saw Dante at the end of the trailer riding that motorcycle.
Yeah. I mean, what if that was still him, just like a future... I mean, the character models looked kind of similar. What if it's...
I can't believe we're going to have the same debate since Devil May Cry 4 about... Like, we're still confused about which character we're looking at between Nero and Dante.
No.
The thing I wanted to point out about the trailer, which kind of blew my mind, was I swear to God that the actor they're using for this game is Sam Witwer again, which is the same actor that Days Gone, Star Wars The Force Unleashed, and I think another high-profile game that
there's
I'm forgetting.
There's something else he was in.
Like, he's suddenly making the rounds as he's, like, becoming the Nolan North of, like, mocap. Like, he's in everything.
Not sold.
I could be wrong. That's not confirmed, but like that looked a lot like him.
So I was kind of talking about a little bit before we started recording this. I'm a little uneasy going into this. I mean, so on the pro side, it's an Itsuno game.
Yes.
Which, you know, he's been working on Devil May Cry since the second game, and he also did Dragon's Dogma, mm-hmm. and he's done a lot of other good stuff for Capcom over the years. Yeah. So that kind of calms me a little bit. But then at the same time, like the last Devil May Cry game, the last proper Devil May Cry game was 10 years ago. A lot has changed since then. You know, one, Bayonetta's come out, you know, and that kind of upped the stakes of crazy action in one of these types of games. But also we live in a world where Itsuno did Dragon's Dogma. So to see that, okay, he is working on Devil May Cry again, and that's fine. But if it's just another Devil May Cry game, while something like Dragon's Dogma was so much more ambitious, it's almost a little bittersweet for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited.
There is a moment in the game where they're showing like combat in Devil May Cry where you see him like swipe his sword, and then you see it looked like Witch Time, but only affecting the enemy. Mm, you see that like that big clock kind of appeared on screen, and it like slowed the enemy down, but he was still moving around. But I don't know, that was a really cool effect. But I feel like you're starting to see some of that Bayonetta DNA kind of bleed into
Devil May Cry, which you know. As crazy as it's going to be, it's probably never going to get as crazy as Bayonetta. So, like, what does that mean? Is that okay? Is that good enough?
I mean,
is this game going to do that's, like, fresh and new for, one, a series that's been gone for 10 years, and two, a character action game
but also
is up against,
if you look back at
God of War, Bayonetta 3.
If you look back at some of the things that he does at the beginning of that trailer, there's some crazy bad shit. Like, he does a lot of stuff that was reminiscent to me of, like, Devil May Cry 3. At the beginning of the trailer, where he's like, the car is flipping and he's running around the outside of the car while it's flipping through midair.
I fucking hope so. I hope that they have that cutscene director. That has been working on it since, that worked on 3, 4, and Bayonetta.
Someone in chat, I don't remember your name, but someone in chat pointed out that it's apparently been confirmed that there are 3 playable characters in the game. So I'm assuming Nero, Dante, and maybe that female character that we see in there, or maybe just a character they haven't announced yet. So.
Also, it's been confirmed that Itsuno is directing, and it's the core team at Capcom.
Core team at Capcom.
But what does that mean? Itsuno. Like, that's the thing. Capcom is such a different company these days. Like, what are their core teams even anymore?
But, right? Like, at that point, like, why even worry about it? Like,
I'm not. I'm just, you know, it's...
Because Brad's a pessimist.
I'm actually very excited about it. It's not Virgil. It's the same voice actor as Nero. It's Nero. It's Nero's sword. Why would anybody else be using that?
He has a robot arm. Like his hand, you see. There's a cutscene where you see him like clutching his arm, and it's like been cut off.
Yeah.
And the next thing you see him, he has his like
was
crazy
he riding
robot hand.
His rocket arm.
Yes, like a skateboard almost.
Yeah.
That was interesting.
There's gonna be some crazy shit.
I'm excited.
There's a fucking demon that like eats a car in his chest and then like spits out the metal back at him. That was crazy.
You know. I think I will of course be excited. I'll play day one, like no question, right?
Yeah.
I think my unease actually more comes from, like, how interested are other people going to be? Like, is this going to be an unsuccessful game?
I've made my opinions noted about, like, I feel like just because of the fact that DMC exists, it's just, like, this series is, like, a breeding ground for just negativity. I that's how I feel, man. What do you mean to say?
Nick, honestly,
say?
I think...
You're already starting to see people upset about the same shit they were upset about with DMC because...
But I think you're putting my concerns on everybody else.
There are people
Nick,
in our
I
own chat that were talking about
this. Every single game out there gets shit on by a large amount of people. And I think it's just a scenario where, in this case, it's a game you like and you see some people shitting on it and you're thinking... Like, I promise
I'm
you,
not
every,
trying to be defensive.
Every
I'm just saying
you like gets shit. It happens.
I'm not trying to be defensive about the game.
I know.
I am literally just pointing out that, like...
But I'm saying don't worry about
it. Devil May Cry 3 and 4 were both incredibly well-respected games, mm-hmm. very well-received, and then DMC came out, and there was just a swarm of controversy around it, and I just feel like we're kind of ending up back in that situation because the tone and the look of this game, based on the first trailer, is already pretty dramatically different.
But at least it's not for, like, the wrong reasons this time. Well, like last time it was because it was a Western studio because they completely changed Dante and people were negative going into that for those reasons. And maybe those are superficial reasons. These, you know, it's back to the core team. So they're not upset about it for those reasons. They're just upset. They're nervous about the first look. And that's like a more honest uneasiness.
But I can also say one of the reasons that I'm kind of excited about this is because it looks like a sequel to Devil May Cry 4, but it also looks like it has some of the DNA from DMC. Like, there were parts where I was watching, I was like, this looks like fucking DMC, like Ninja Theory's DMC a little bit in terms of the way of its tone and the way the characters are animating and stuff. I don't know. It's obviously not like it's Tsuno, like you said, but I feel like maybe there was some effect that DMC had on the direction of this game.
Two more things I want to talk about before we bounce. First, quickly, the Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition is really exciting for me, and I think it should be for others as well.
I'm excited
because Tales of Vesperia is sort of like the overall consensus as like the definitive Tales game. It was the last one that had like a really big, you know, JRPG budget. It was the last one that had this big explorable, you know, open world like you expect from a classic JRPG. The modern ones almost feel a little budget in comparison. I mean, they're still good at what they're good at, but this was the last one that was like felt really grand.
Yeah.
And most importantly is that this is based on the PS3 release that came later after the Xbox 360 version, but it only got released in Japan, and it had like new playable characters, so much more new content, and for years and years and years, people have wanted them to release that version over here. There's that famous tweet where Namco, like official Namco Twitter is like, hey, we're listening, man. You tell us what Tales games you want. We just want you to know we're listening. And like the first Twitter reply is, what about Vesperia on PS3? And the reply was, no, not that one. It's like the funniest like Twitter exchange.
So in the Devil May Cry box art, they released it.
They've already released box art?
Wario tweeted it. So it's definitely Dante, Nero, and...
Is it another dude?
It looks like Noctis. It looks like fucking Noctis.
Damn it. Okay, first of all, I'm going to be...
Wait. But he has like a sleeve now?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Why can't it be a lady? Come on. Why is it so hard to make Devil May Cry games playable ladies? How do you know that's not a lady? Like, I'm not even saying lady. I'm saying like a lady. Like a female...
Oh my god! Also,
they don't want to step on Bayonetta's toes.
Also, this version of Vesperia is coming to PC and PS4 and Xbox as well. So that's very cool.
Okay. What else? What was the other one you
wanted? Brad, did you want to say anything about Anthem before you leave?
No. Well, I wanted to say Sekiro.
Oh yeah, Sekiro.
Sekiro.
The Shadows Die
this
Twice.
Is the what? The
guys, that's Noctis.
And Switch. Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. This was the thing that was teased at the Game Awards last year, and everyone was like, what is this? Is it Bayonetta 2? I mean, Bloodborne 2? Is it Tenchu? Is it Kuon? You know, everyone's been talking about this thing for months, but recently you've kind of gotten speculation out there saying that, oh, it's kind of like a blend between like all of those or sort of, right? Maybe even like...
And it turns out that was accurate.
Yeah, it turns out that it's kind of from Software's
Neo.
Which is still exciting, maybe a little less exciting because we had Neo and Neo was really good. And we're probably going to get
another
Neo. Honestly,
if this would have come out before Neo,
we'd be jumping from the rooftops.
Yeah, all of us would be insane. And I agree with you, Brad. I think it's because we've all played Neo, and Neo was a great fucking game. And a lot of our comments were, I want Souls games to do this. I want Souls, like some of the styles they did in it, some of the ways you interacted with the environment, some how your weapons and stuff worked. And I think we're going to get some of that in this, and that doesn't mean it's going to be bad.
Now, all I want to say is that I'm a little disappointed. I'm really excited, but I'm a little disappointed because I was straight up expecting like the tone of this game to be super like Japanese horror.
More horror-y
than
it is.
Like there are elements of it, but if the whole trailer kind of took place out in like broad daylight, and it didn't seem very...
There was some dark kind of...
I think it's because people were saying Kuon, like, Bloodborne,
Bloodborne looked darker than this.
Bloodborne was always very dark.
I wanted like Fatal Frame Souls.
But like, it's funny because if you think about it, like in terms of like, you want a horror game from Software... I was expecting this to be it, but now that I've seen this, I feel like Bloodborne was more of a horror game than this.
Maybe.
So far, based on what we've seen so far.
Maybe. I mean, it's definitely Souls looking, but there's like a grappling hook, so maybe there'll be like more like... And he did like the sidestep jump that was like way more acrobatic or athletic than anything any Souls characters have done.
More like ninja-esque.
I kind of
want
to watch that again.
So maybe you have more... Yeah, we should have watched that again. So maybe there's more interesting like navigation, and we know there's going to be excellent level design, right? Because it's from Software. So ultimately, it's still super fucking exciting. But the Activision thing worried me a little bit.
That came out of nowhere.
What's the over-under on this actually being like... Like an action RPG, though.
Oh, for sure. It's a Souls game. I mean, right?
I mean, the character looked exactly the same the whole way through. Was using the same weaponry. I mean, it kind of reads like a character action.
There are details breaking about this
about Sekiro.
Yeah, and I have a whole bunch of key features here. Thank you, Chris Davis, for passing. This is, I guess, from Reset Error.
Yeah.
Kill ingeniously. From Software delivers their best in class combat. Blah, blah, blah. Exploration is key. Players will experience the thrill of exploration, discovery, and security. Blah, blah, blah. Through exploration, players can uncover new items, meet new characters, and encounter hidden enemies. Armed says gameplay is centered around sword combat, enhanced by a variety of prosthetic arm attachments that supplement or change the way the player fights.
So that was okay.
Achieving strategic mastery of Sekiro or the one-armed wolf's techniques and abilities. From prosthetic tools, swordplay to stealth and grappling hook is no easy feat.
I wonder if that was when one of the things was he took that arm, it looked like it seemed like his arm, it almost turned into like a Japanese fan, but like metal, and like spun out and like in all the sections.
See, now I want to watch the trailer again for sure.
Yeah,
to overcome difficulties and bring each situation under control, gamers must discover, integrate, and use a variety of new tools when they head into combat. Play as a highly talented shinobi in the service of a young lord raised in isolation. After suffering defeat at the hands of Shattery, Ashina samurai seeking the unique heritage of your master, the two of you are separated. Deep in the mountains in a dilapidated temple, you reawaken to your fate. You must take back your master and exact revenge on your enemy at all costs. Shadows Die Twice is a hardcore game worthy of the name From Software. Miyazaki designed Sekiro Shadows Die Twice this way. Fans of From Software will find the gameplay challenging, yet fun and rewarding. Reimagined World. The reimagining of Japanese aesthetic blend of withered yet vivid world of late 1500s Sengoku Japan as the age of warring states nears its end. Witness a world brought to its knees by constant bloodshed, a ravaged world. Explore these environments rich with From Software's intricate design and steep with secrets to discover. I was kind of hoping...
I mean, they didn't say the word RPG.
So yeah.
Action game.
I was kind of expecting them to also...
But that's okay.
So we talked about this. One thing I will say, if you're curious, there was a bunch of rumors about this, and we actually recorded a 4-player plus bonus podcast where we talked about those rumors. Yeah. A lot of them have proven true from this thing, but there hasn't been additional details on it. But they talked about things like a day-night cycle, which is something that From Software has not done.
That's also something that like a big open world game would have too.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So
you're probably going to get that Soulsian map style.
So also,
which
if,
is everything.
If
right?
you want to hear all the rumor stuff that maybe wasn't covered in this, I would say go download that episode. It's on the site at 4playernetwork.com. But yeah, I'm super excited about this, and I definitely want to watch the trailer again after we record this.
And with that, I think I need to bounce. Or Anthem? Did y'all want to talk about Anthem?
Yeah, real quickly. So EA was yesterday, and the only thing really that we can talk about much is, I guess, the Anthem footage that they showed, mm-hmm. which I think looks pretty fun.
I think it looks pretty cool. I feel like their overall reaction has been very, antagonistic, and I think it's because, hey, it's not Mass Effect. I'm sorry Mass Effect had to die this horrible death, and I'm sorry this is not that. Yeah. I know it's BioWare, but, like,
for sure.
You know, it's okay that they're trying something new. What they have shown, though... does look good, right? I mean, people are making it sound like the stuff they've shown looks bad.
This whole, I don't know, the whole flight and hover mechanics alone seem like enough to kind of completely flip over that whole.
I know people are getting Destiny vibes from this.
So for me, Brad, it's not that everything I've seen is bad. It's just I still don't really get what the game is.
That's because
I'm saying like for me, it seems like is it Destiny? Is it like a fucking Evolve map where you just drop in, do a bunch of shit, and then leave? You know, like I still don't understand the mechanics, the base core of this game.
They haven't been very clear about it, but I think it's fairly safe to assume that. And this is, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not saying. I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure if you look at the way Destiny 2 is structured, I would say that's probably a pretty safe bet to assume it's going to be taking some inspiration from that.
Probably.
Maybe but that doesn't mean anything.
With
like
an actual connected open world or something. But
sure. It but does I mean, look because cool. of all like the crazy navigation, the verticality of the world, I honestly think it looks cooler than Destiny.
Like, it's no fucking wonder they haven't given us any details about it, because the second they do, someone's going to try to burn down the studio.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's sad that, like, I don't know. I mean,
Dragon Age still gets to exist, I'm okay.
They do some really the footage we saw alone does some really cool stuff with like you said, the transitions from like flying in the air to going underwater seem
so
amazing.
Cool.
Especially, I want to see like how deep that rabbit hole goes, so to speak.
I want to see deep that water thing
that's
goes.
What I'm saying.
And I agree with y'all on that. And that's what I want. That's what I'm talking about. I want to see gameplay where you actually see how big the world is. Where you actually do you have a destination? You start here and you need to get here, and then you got to go back. That's the thing I'm curious about. And I'm trying to understand that.
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
That conforms pretty closely to the way it looked when they first announced the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember that big demo
they were
in
a town.
There was a lot of like looting and a lot of like, okay, let's go in this direction and do this quest and get this loot.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like what do they call it in Destiny? Like the hub area?
You know, like the tower?
Yeah, like I would be surprised if it's like the tower, but they have like branching like paths and you just gotta go.
Remember like they were showing a character in that hub area too, and it was all in first person, and they were doing like cutscenes and story stuff, and then they left that area in their suit, and then it was the third person.
That was from the first time we saw it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I did forget about that. Okay.
But one thing I will say, I've been kind of vocally kind of just, I've just in general always been kind of opposed. Anytime I see like online connectivity required, I tense up and I don't like it. And I still don't like it here. But I will say that this game, I think, looks interesting and fun enough that I will play it. You know what I mean? Like it looks fun enough and original enough and exciting enough to for me to get over those kinds of things. I definitely want to give this a try, and I've heard it's got really good reception at you know Judges Week and stuff like that. So
playable on the floor?
I don't know because I don't think so because EA completely removed themselves.
Let me ask you this:
I think they've been doing behind
anything we've
doors.
Talked about so far in this podcast. Do you think any of that's going to be playable?
I think the fact that Devil May Cry is spring 2019 makes me think yes.
Devil May Cry maybe.
I also
Cyberpunk.
Probably not. I don't think Cyberpunk's they're doing theater presentations.
Sekiro.
I think Dying. I know Dying Light 2, which we'll talk about in a few minutes.
Sekiro might be.
Yeah, that would be. I bet that is.
Yeah, because Souls games. Yeah.
They showed a lot of games.
Did they say a date for that?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I bet Fallout 76 will. I bet there'll be plenty of the stuff that'll be playable.
Well,
on the
guys,
show floor.
I will be listening to y'all's podcast from LA. I wish y'all safe travels.
Thank you,
Brett. We're gonna see you in like 2 hours.
Oh, that's true.
Don't say goodbye.
But if you don't see me,
okay,
you never know.
Well, you can just leave the baby. And so you have to come back.
Yeah. Damn it. We hope we see Brad later this evening when we watch the Bethesda conference live. We've been live since noon. We've been
Chris Davis
playing stuff. And Chris Davis is going to come back in, filling for Brad for the rest of the show. Brad, thank you.
Bye, Brad.
We will see you later.
I'm going to awkwardly pack all this up now while y'all do the podcast.
That's cool. Anybody watching live can see how a baby crib is, or what do you call that?
Playpen.
A baby crib is taken apart live on the feed. Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Chris Davis. How are you?
I'm good. Just one quick thing about Devil May Cry 5.
No, yes. We already talked about it. Too late.
Too late.
Well,
I'm just kidding.
Just want to mention, according to the press release, this is going to be the final entry in the story.
The final entry?
Yes.
Okay.
The final entry in the Devil May Cry franchise.
I think it's kind of funny.
What does that mean?
To like assume that they were ever even going to go back to do this entry. I feel like the only reason they're doing this is because DMC kind of didn't perform as well.
But also that also could just imply that like this is the final entry in like Devil May Cry as we know it, and they could just reboot the franchise in a completely different way.
No, the way the press release was written, it said it was bringing to an end the story of Nero and Dante.
Oh well,
that's fine.
Yeah. So, which means we get another Devil May Cry game in 5 years that stars going to be a different character.
And the lady character's name is Nico.
Nico.
So
why do they have to? That also sounds too much like Nero.
It sounds very similar to Nero. Yeah.
Anyways, so let's go ahead and we've kind of covered
all. Like Nico Bellic, maybe.
Maybe. All right. So from this point forward, why don't we kind of go down in the order in which things were shown?
Sure.
Okay. Don't want to spend too much time on any given one because there's a lot of stuff that was covered. Actually, I remember what was above that. Nolan, I don't think we even... Okay, that works too. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to go in order. A lot of stuff was shown at this press conference, so we're not going to spend too much time
please,
on any given one thing.
Feel free to skip some games if none of us care about them.
All right.
And keep it light.
I am going to mention, I know some of you all don't care about it, but they did open with Halo Infinite.
Of course, yeah.
And it looks... And it does look like a different... starkly different direction than I was expecting out of Halo 6, quote-unquote.
Mm-hmm. So they did a press release... Shortly after Microsoft ended. And that entire thing was a technology demonstrator for their new Slipspace game engine.
Okay. But how representative of that is it of Halo Infinite as a game?
That
is the question.
That was definitely the art style and what they're going for. Because evidently they're doing a little update to the art style based on community feedback and...
Oh,
a new artist.
They're developing by committee with Halo 6. Wonderful.
Oh, no, they're not. They're not. It's puzzly. I don't know.
Anyway, I mean, I'm just curious because...
But they did say specifically in the press release that this is basically Halo 6.
Well, yeah. I mean,
it's all
true.
About the Master Chief, and it's supposed to continue on from Halo 5.
Yeah, it said 343. The moment I saw 343 was doing it, I was like, oh, this is the continuation.
I mean, 343 will claim credit for, like, the Master Chief Collection, but, like, six different developers actually made that product.
No, I'm just talking about they did Halo 3 or 4 and 5, so... When I saw 343, I had no doubt this was the next official Halo game. Sure. All right. So let's move on from Halo. Unless you have something you want to say.
Well, yeah. Hasn't, like, Infinite and Infinity, hasn't that kind of become shorthand parlance and Halo terms for online? Wasn't one of their online modes called the Infinity or something like that?
Well, the Infinity was Halo the 5, ship or? In which Halo 5, Halo 4 and 5 take place on.
Right.
And
that was, like, they had a whole thing where, like the online modes were all combat exercises within the ship. Yes. So, like, the online section was grouped into like a menu section that was called the Infinite or Infinity or something.
I will say this: it did the trailer that we saw today looked a little bit reminiscent of, like, the environments in Halo 1. Like, it was big and open and, like, green and
so, yeah,
which is nice. It's nice to get back to that.
I think what they're implying is that by saying calling it Infinite, that it takes place on an open world, an open Halo to explore.
That would be fucking cool.
Sure.
I don't know. What this gives me vibes of, like, well, we won't see this again until next E3.
Probably.
So moving right down the list, Ori and the Will of the Wisps. Looks like more Ori. Which I'm totally cool with.
I'm down with it.
Not much to say here other than they introduce a really cute little owl, which
that's going to turn evil.
Or die.
Or both.
Turn evil, then die.
But if anybody has not
or
played
die
Ori...
and turn evil.
If anybody has never played Ori and the Blind Forest, what are you doing? That game is so fucking good. Go play it. So we already talked about Sekiro. Fallout 76. I didn't expect them to show this for the first time.
Yeah, neither did I. And we didn't see much. I mean, we saw a little bit more of the world. There's some new creature designs, which obviously we knew was coming since it takes a different place in the universe.
It takes place, it's the earliest in the Fallout timeline.
Correct.
Chronologically,
this will be the first Fallout game.
It's like it's only 2096?
It's like 20 years after the bombs dropped.
Yeah. Correct.
One thing this did do for me, because we haven't seen any gameplay of it until this point, was it kind of reassured me that this game...
Well, I knew what it was going to be. Like, it's in Fallout 4's engine. I know it's going to be that. It's just more of how you're going to play it is the question still.
I'm just really hoping after tonight's Bethesda conference that I walk away feeling I can play this and I can enjoy it the same way I've enjoyed every Fallout game I've played so far.
That trailer seemed to clue into the fact that this is going to somehow involve some kind of multiplayer thing.
Oh, of course it will.
Well, yeah, we know that. But, like,
and Vault 76 is actually the control vault in the vault system.
Yeah, yeah, I just really hope, I'm just saying, I really hope that when it's all said and done, we've seen what the game is. I feel like there's something there for me. I'm worried it's going to completely subvert. We're going to talk about it tonight. Yeah, we'll talk about it tonight after the Bethesda conference.
Yeah.
The Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which looks like a sidestep in the Life
actually,
is Strange. What?
According to a press release, that's actually a prequel episode to Life is Strange 2.
Really?
Previewing the characters that are going to be in Life is Strange 2.
Interesting. Well, that's so, okay. Thank you for stepping out in the hall and reading all these press
releases. Well, we know Nick's an alcoholic dad in the game.
I do. The alcoholic dad does look a little bit like me, I suppose.
Beer for breakfast?
Shut up, son.
Yeah. Yep, that's pretty much...
I'll kill you! I'll fucking kill you!
It looked charming, and at first we were like, this is definitely Life is Strange something.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit. They showed Crackdown 3
right after delaying it.
It was nothing but Terry Crews.
Does it look beautiful?
It kind of looks like Crackdown 2.
It,
like, 3 years ago, that may have looked beautiful, but I think we've gone well past that point where I don't think that
did they just delay it for a year just so they could scan in Terry Crews's face and put it in it?
And
is he the main character?
Yes,
probably.
Because I mean, the previous Crackdown games, it was a character you created.
You created it, but Chris, they need to sell it somehow.
Even if you create your character,
that's a bad thing to have.
They could potentially. Oh my god! Bring the loudest toy in here. Thanks, Butters. Even if it was a character creator, depending. They could still, like, if you're playing a male character, the voice could be Terry Crews, no matter who.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, you designed.
As long as they're...
God damn it.
Muscular.
Oh, yeah.
Muscular.
Yeah. Muscular.
Yes.
Muscular.
That's what you're going to say.
Metro Exodus.
Yes. Yeah, that looked pretty cool.
I'm impressed by how that looked. That
you
looked
play
interesting.
The other one?
I have played all of 30 minutes of Metro before.
I am sorry.
It's a cool series. I'm really hoping they kind of lean into the openness of this
one. Oh, no, they absolutely are.
Yeah.
That's
one of the things that excites me.
I mean, the thing about this game is that it is a cross-continental journey.
Yeah, but it seems like you're going from one open area to another, and that's cool. I just want to see how open those areas are and how much there is to do within each area. I've always loved the like put the gas mask on and when you go out and like having to like watch your oxygen and that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. I hope that
I know it was a transition, but is it going to be a scenario like I know you had to like switch out your like filters and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you going to have to like wipe off your mask when it's raining? Because they did that as part of a transition, but I'm curious.
You did that in Last Light.
It's pretty cool. Okay, like they do some cool stuff with that. And
they showed about a billion guns.
Yeah, and but they were like doing all kind of like
they only showed off a handful of guns. Mm-hmm. That was all customization.
But it was cool because they were showing like how all like they're all like moving pieces and parts and stuff.
Yeah.
Each gun,
yeah.
Which is cool.
We have an appointment to see that.
We do. Oh man, well you do. I don't have that appointment. Have fun.
Well, we got two seats.
Yeah,
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Go. Yeah, and you invited me to go.
Yeah,
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
It's still coming. They saw a couple more worlds, but
Frozen. Showing the Frozen world.
Unfortunately, we saw Organization 13.
Yeah. Someone should check on Tumblr. I bet they're having a heart attack right now.
Has anybody checked on Tumblr? Let's check their polls, please. Okay. Showed some Sea of Thieves DLC, Cursed Sails and Forsaken Shores. They didn't really talk much about what they are, so we can't say any much about that. I'm sure we'll go into that on a future episode of the show.
Yeah.
Battlefield 5, they showed a single player cinematic trailer. Looked pretty.
One of the stories.
Forza Horizon 4, which if I was into racing games, I would probably be all over, but I'm not really into racing games, but it looks beautiful. It takes place in Britain. That was totally a not live demo.
So
but
those studio acquisitions, some of those were pretty interesting.
Okay, so
that was the next big thing.
I think one of Microsoft's biggest announcements at this press conference
was not a game.
That they're finally like investing money and acquiring first party studios.
Five studios,
and some are new, some we haven't, some correct. Are recognizable names though. I think the first one was the Initiative, which is a new studio. Yeah. The two that really stood out to me though. Were Compulsion Games was
Compulsion,
one.
Yeah.
So after Gearbox publishes We Happy Few, they have whatever they do after that. Which means that Compulsion can now work with bigger budgets, which is true. Cool.
No, yeah.
In fact, all of these teams can. So they purchased Undead Labs.
Undead Labs.
Which means if we get State of Decay 3, it could potentially be.
It will come out bug free?
Potentially bug free. Perhaps bigger in scope and more polished, which is exciting. I'm sure they're really thrilled about that.
Maybe it'll be Category 5 like they've been pitching it for years.
Perhaps. But the biggest one was Ninja Theory.
Yeah.
Microsoft has bought Ninja Theory. Now, we love Ninja Theory games for the most part, and you know, I know a lot of us here are not huge Xbox players, so that's kind of unfortunate, but this is good for Ninja Theory.
Hey, it'll be on PC.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Everything we saw today PC. Will be on PC.
But Ninja Theory will now once again be able to make. They already do really interesting projects with smaller to mid tier size budgets, right? Mm-hmm. Like even I think DMC was like not like AAA budget necessarily.
Yeah.
So like that team being able to work and do their thing within like a much bigger budget seems really exciting. So that's cool. Good take. Moving on right on down the line.
We saw
PUBG.
Division 2. Yeah. That's the next one.
All right, here we go.
That's my thing.
We can skip that one. That's all right. Let's move on from Division 2.
The Division 2. Chris Davis.
Yes.
I think he was about to pull out a knife.
It looks... I have a knife right now.
Oh, God.
I am armed. I don't personally like the transition to Washington, D.C. because I think there's a lot more you can do with New York than has really been tried.
Okay, one thing that kind of blows my mind.
It looks really fucking good.
One of the things that kind of blows my mind is how you've played 500 plus hours.
Oh, like 700?
I passed 700several weeks back.
Weirdo. 700 hours of The Division, and yet you're disappointed they're not doing more New York and Division 2?
Yeah, because that's a fucking big city.
You know what, Chris Davis? There are thousands of other big cities in the world they can do.
Yeah,
absolutely. They didn't even get to Brooklyn or White Harlem or anything.
Okay, Chris Davis, first of all, let me just say this, and we talked about this off the feed, but it's pretty clear that they're probably going to continue to pump Division 1 content out before the release of Division 2.
Yes, they're doing what's called shields, which are going to be unlockables in Division 1 for Division 2.
So what do you think the chances are of seeing your beloved Times Square... Or not Times Square.
Times Square is in the game.
What's the one you're...
I want Central Park.
Central Park.
Which they've been teasing for like 2 years.
Why?
Because they've been teasing it.
Because they pitch it as this fucking like no man's land.
It's a fucking park in the middle of the city.
There's it's more than that. It's got a zoo in it. It's got a lake. It's got a this shit has ton a of zoo in it.
They show this has a lake.
They show you're in.
You're
the
literally
zoo.
Getting what you want. Just
Dana
in a different
Barrett's
place.
Apartment is on Central Park West. Maybe in the game you could go there and summon Gozer.
There we go.
Now that took
I mean,
a turn.
Hey, that would be good.
That prediction
Chris
took
Davis,
a turn.
I guarantee you, no matter how disappointed you are that you're not going to get to go into Central Park, you're still going to play 700
but
hours
even
of
then,
this game,
like,
too.
You're probably
no, yeah,
gonna,
I know, probably.
You're probably going to get Central Park anyway, so who cares?
The variety of the new weapons in the game,
so,
the new abilities.
So, Chris Davis, let's talk about the Division.
Okay.
Davis. I've played a little bit of this game. I've probably played maybe 15 hours. I've played a decent chunk of it.
Yeah.
So, one of the things I noticed was the Dark Zone. But before we get to there, one of the mechanics, to my knowledge, of how the Division works is you go into the Dark Zone, you do some stuff, you get some loot, you evac out the loot.
Yeah.
And I did think it was interesting in this trailer that it showed them like evacing the loot, not via helicopter, but almost like a portal or some shit. Like they shot up a flare.
Shot a flare in the sky.
And then all
and
of a sudden...
And normally in the Division, that would have a helicopter come and land and you...
Do they have
you,
drones
you
come? Did drones come pick
drones
up?
Drones were introduced in the first major update of the game.
Gotcha.
But they didn't like, they were really just like enemies to shoot.
But
they didn't really have an enemy.
Was the big deal here? They were suggesting that you can, send back your loot without
your
having
loot.
To like evac out of.
If that's the case, that's really interesting.
That is different. Normally you had to go to an evac point and summon it and then wait X amount of time.
Yeah.
But then that also leads to the question of, is there a dark zone in this game?
Yeah.
Or are you constantly in that, what we will now not call the dark zone anymore, but you know, just whatever.
Is it the open world and is there PvP in there? That's the big question. And
I'm sure there's
really
plenty
don't
of
have an
I'm sure there
that.
Will be. There's some cool stuff they show. They show there's some combat scenarios going on like on a downed Air Force One in the middle of a park, which was pretty cool. And a foam gun. We saw a little shot
that
of
was
foam.
Interesting.
Yeah,
kind you of, had kind of locked a character in place.
Yeah.
And then you had to shoot the foam off of your partner's foot to like
you know what
let
would be cool
free?
And what would make me play the Division 2 right now?
Yeah,
is if instead of shooting him in the feet, you shoot him in the head. And then they're just running around with a giant fucking thing of foam on their
see,
head
the thing,
and they
I
can't
have to
see.
Wonder.
Yeah.
That might actually be a thing.
That would be interesting.
But the foam gun we saw was being used against the player character,
correct.
So I'm hoping you actually get to use it yourself.
Oh, I hope so.
But yeah, I mean, I think it looked pretty good. I'm interested.
They had a crossbow in there?
My favorite part of the whole demo, though, was where we were joking about the closing the car door, and then we saw a police car with the car door open, and we were just screaming.
Close
they didn't
the door!
Fucking close it.
But he didn't do it. They had to have done that intentionally. That was
oh, of course.
That
yeah.
was
of course.
Oh my goodness.
I mean, that is an achievement in the game.
That's fantastic. Anyway, so yeah, Division 2, I'm sure you're going to play that at E3.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure.
If it's playable on the show
they
floor,
probably know you by name.
No, they don't.
Oh, Shadows of the Tomb Raider.
Shadow of the Tomb Raider, which I'm sure we'll see more of that at Square Enix. So
I don't really know what to say about that, honestly.
I mean, it was another cinematic trailer.
It looks like Tomb Raider.
It looks like, yeah, more fucking
more
Tomb
of this one.
Yeah. I'm really hoping that we get, like, maybe reveal that this is actually kind of like an open
hopefully
game.
There's tombs in the game.
It's like Rise, I mean, but like Predator
there
edition?
Were already better tombs in the Rise, so I'm hoping it's going to keep happening. I do like the choice of setting with, like, the like Aztec.
Mayan civilization,
like that stuff is pretty cool. But like, I'm really hoping they kind of mix up the world structure and stuff a little bit. But I'm sure we'll get a better taste of that at Square Enix. So we'll talk about that later. Session, it looks like.
Meh. So Session, I found out, was a Kickstarter project from developers that worked on Skate.
Oh,
and so this is their product.
So this is basically
Skate 4
without it being Skate.
Yeah.
So I know I've heard a lot of people like really wanting another Skate game. So I'm glad they're finally getting that. But we'll see how that turns out. I don't know. That strikes me as another game we probably won't see more of for a while. Unless that happens to be playable to show floor. I have no idea.
Who knows?
After that, what else do we have? Oh my god, there's still so much more.
Another fucking trailer
Skip
for Black
Desert.
Desert.
Who cares?
Jump Force was that weird Namco Bandai, probably Cyber Connect 2.
I mean, it's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
I mean, a bunch of Shonen Jump characters intermingling and fighting.
I mean, this isn't the
fighting.
First time there's been a Shonen Jump fighting game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
so for it to be just, like a 3D environment like that, then
for someone like me who's really only familiar with Dragon Ball Z, doesn't really do much for me. But
that's fine.
But,
I'm sure
but this is a gateway game for you to get into that.
But it's not going to
happen. Yeah.
But it's not going to happen
if you really like it.
I want to talk about my most anticipated game of forever now.
So this really is your most. Or
this is
so
my
far.
Favorite thing I've seen so far of the
show. I'm not disagreeing with you. I fucking am excited to
Dying
for
Light 2 Dude, was shown like, off.
Which we kind of I kind of lost my shit when they turned on the black light.
As soon as he saw the black light, yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
"Oh fuck."
So, first of all, one thing I'm surprised that they managed to get me so excited for this game despite not showing a single zombie in any of this footage.
That's true.
But Dying Light 2 looks far more ambitious than I ever would have expected. It takes place like 15 years after Dying Light 1, yeah. And it's in like a super like vertical world.
She's looking at the dog.
Super vertical, like
it lots looks of... so much more vertical than the first game.
Yeah, like, and it seems like it almost feels like as you know the zombie apocalypse kind of went on, like people tried to like get away from it, like by building.
They just
higher,
went up,
which yeah. is cool.
Well, so that was the thing in the original Dying Light. To get away from them, you always went up.
Yeah,
and so I guess they just kept going up.
Yeah,
and so
which
like...
is so cool. But beyond that,
this game seems ambitious as.
So the big thing here is that they talked about there's a lot of player choice here, and like when you make decisions, it actually like affects the way the world looks and operates, like the politics of the world, the greenery in the world, like the resources, like the water sources in the world that are mm-hmm. available to like, and that influences the way the people in the world live and react to you. Like that's so cool.
So here's something I don't want to say I'm worried, because I'm not. I have faith. But that was one of the things with like State of Decay 2. They added a lot of really ambitious stuff. And that's what it seems like is going on here in Dying Light 2, is they're adding a lot of ambitious things. Like the fact that there are many factions in the world that you interact with, and you can have positive and negative interactions with those factions, and that can affect how the rest of the game goes. So one of the ones they showed was, I decided not to team up with this faction because I want to provide free water to everyone, and then those people became your enemy. But hey, actually some people prospered more because now there's water available. And they were saying even the fact that you could go up to these fountains now in the world and like heal yourself or whatever at these fountains because there's free water. Or conversely, you could team up with that faction to start selling water on like a black market, and then like the world became almost like worse. I don't know, but that's one of the crazy things, is it seems like you can really affect how the world is structured, how the world interacts with you and interacts with each other. That's very ambitious.
But here's the thing that gets me is that it seems like zombies are not out there during the daytime.
Yeah, that was the big thing.
They're entirely at night.
Even said it on stage. It suggested that the zombies only come out at night.
Well,
now.
So what I'm thinking is they built up the world enough to where as long as you're at the upper level, you're fine. But it seemed like if you go below, it seems like you can probably go below any time and you'll run into zombies. But they only come out of there at nighttime.
Yeah,
that's what it seems like.
I'm so fucking excited to learn more about this. We have an appointment to play it. I'm so stoked. I saw a lot more
that he interacted with a moving vehicle in the world.
He was doing parkour, like flipping, like he slid down, he cut, used a knife to cut down a banner as like slide down, like Prince of Persia style, jumped off of the wall, caught onto the side of a moving vehicle.
So the
like,
only vehicles that moved in the previous game was in the DLC when it got to the buggies, and that was really it. There wasn't like other people driving around.
So one thing I'll say, I think this game is probably going to show a lot of promise. I think it's probably going to be really good, but I also think it's probably going to be one of those games where it's going to be like really ambitious sequel that has some rough edges. But that's okay. Like I think there's plenty of room in the market for like a game like that. It just seems like way more ambitious than this. Like I love Dying Light has kind of taken, like I was worried they were going to keep going with Dead Island.
Yeah,
like, they even announced Dead Island 2 and that never came out, and
Deep Silver.
Yeah, I don't think that game's ever going to come out, honestly.
And
because
Deep Silver's been bought by THQ, so who knows? What
Dying Light is going to be is kind of making that obsolete, anyways.
But I wonder. I mean, that they released the following, which was a $30 expansion pack.
That was a huge expansion.
Huge expansion. Yeah, like another 20 hours.
It was all
of gameplay.
About driving around this very large open areas. Mm-hmm. Are they just going away from that?
Well, I mean, for this part, I mean,
it seems like that.
It's possible. But I mean, like, at least in the area of town you're in where it's like built up, obviously you're not really going to be driving around there. But there could be something similar to where there's like maybe some open fields near the town that.
I can't actually have a laptop right in front of me. I was like, I can't click that link except for right in front of me. Oh, I saw that. Jaeger. Thank you. But yeah, I'm totally high. I hope they show some of the zombie stuff at the E3 demo.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll have to.
Yeah. So, and you know, who knows? We might even see this pop up at another conference. Who knows? But, like Sony, but probably not.
Battletoads, who cares?
Just Cause 4.
Fucking tornadoes. Holy shit.
Just what it needed.
Tornadoes. I'm excited. At the end of the trailer, he fucking drives his car, gets on the roof.
I know, because what else would you do? Like, what else would you fucking do with a tornado in that game?
That's true.
Obviously, you're gonna get in a jet fighter, fly it straight into the tornado, jump out, blow up the jet fighter, have fun. It's great.
I just wish, I hope, like, maybe there's a way that you can, like set up an oil field to explode as the tornado is, like, passing over it and just create a giant fire twister or something.
Dude.
That would be so cool.
I have...
This is what Just Cause needs.
I have still to this day never touched a Just Cause game.
Really?
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
I wanted to play 3 and I just never got around to it.
3 is a pretty good game.
3 was really fun.
I know.
That was my first Just Cause.
I might try and make this my first
Just Cause. It's not the most polished game in the world, but it's a hell of a
That's
lot
my
of
question.
Fun.
This game comes out in December of this year. What?
That's
the
insane.
Fuck?
But again, that's 3 years to the date after.
Half the time, the jank is part of the fun, you know? Like.
True.
It's good.
I just hope it comes out in a better state than Just Cause 3 did.
Sure.
But who knows? We'll find out. All right.
Probably Microsoft's biggest game, Gears Pop. Just kidding. Skip it.
So they announced 3 Gears of War things here. Gears Pop, mobile game, which is using the Funko Pop figures, whatever.
Gears Tactics, though.
Yeah.
Okay. XCOM Gears might be the worst Gears that I'm into for a while.
I've literally played maybe 20 minutes of a Gears game in my life because I don't really care about them.
That's fair.
That kind of had me excited. An XCOM-esque Gears game.
Yeah,
I could see myself
definitely
playing that.
There for the XCOM-iness.
Well, obviously,
yeah, for sure. As someone who started Gears of War 4 and didn't finish it, I don't know how to feel about Gears of War 5. I don't think I can't feel myself getting excited about it. Maybe I'll go back and give it another shot.
I think they missed an opportunity with Gears of War 5 by not calling it Fifth Gear.
What about Fourth Gear?
Again, there's some interesting story implications.
What
for
Reverse
four.
Gear? They should do a prequel called Reverse.
I'm sure there are. It just seemed weird to me that they chose, like, such a slow burn of a trailer to show for Gears. Like, it was literally, like, mostly dialogue.
Just a lot of talking. Yeah.
A lot of talking.
Yeah.
Followed by some quick clips of the action, which looked pretty nice.
And stealth? It looked like it was a little bit of stealth.
But
in
wasn't there some stealth in 4?
Not really, no.
Okay, well, I would love to go back and maybe finish 4 someday. At the time, I wasn't really feeling it, but maybe I was just in a mood. Who knows?
Yeah.
One thing we didn't talk about, this was actually earlier, or maybe this was after Gears. I don't remember. But at some point, they showed that beautiful little indie game that we saw at PAX South a few years ago that had a generic-ass name.
Mm-hmm.
And then they renamed it, and now it's called Tunic. But
it looks
kind of like
delightful.
Looks so delightful.
Yeah.
Looks like a really beautiful 3D... What would you call that? It's like a Zelda Link to the Past type game.
There was a game not too long ago, like Ocean something, where it was kind of like that same...
Oceanhorn,
I think. Whereas it was a Zelda-esque, but it was more 3D, and that's what this is. It almost looks like a 3D model world that you can kind of interact with, go up and down levels and stuff like that. And that's what I get the vibe. Almost like, I don't want to use the word Captain Toad, but kind of like that.
Yeah.
You're almost like looking at a 3D model world and the way you go up and down, interact with different stuff. That seems kind of interesting.
It does. It seems beautiful.
And it does look beautiful.
I hope that turns out well.
Fez looking.
Kind of Fez.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the way they're all like, just and I'm having trouble grasping the words, but like the polygons and stuff, how you like
no, is that when, voxel?
Voxel not really voxel well like when you slash like the grass or whatever and it just kind of like explodes
yeah,
and it disappears
all the grass are like perfect like little pyramids
yeah and it's yeah. all very clean cut and it looks really
it's
good
a beautiful looking
the
game.
Combat actually did look pretty interesting the way you were doing like some dodges and stuff to avoid enemy attacks and then using a sword
to be honest I'm glad they showed this at the conference because I kind of forgot it. I thought it was already out and I just missed it, so the fact that they highlighted it at the Microsoft press conference was actually really cool, so I'm hoping people pick that up and
it's
play
supposed
it.
To come out this year sometime.
I absolutely intend to play it when it comes out.
Me too.
And I think that pretty much covers it, right? We talked about just about everything. So if you're watching us live, we're going to be we'll be live for a little while, and then at 8:30 p.m. is the Bethesda conference, and then we'll talk a little bit about on the podcast after that about what they showed at that, and then tomorrow, me, Chris, and Chris Davis are going to L.A. to check out the games. We're doing some live commentary of the Sony conference at least. I know we're going to be traveling when the Square Enix and Ubisoft conferences are happening, but we'll probably do some reactions to those when we get to where we're going.
Yep.
So far this has been pretty exciting. A lot of cool stuff to be excited about. Hopefully you guys will join us a little bit later this evening for Bethesda, and we'll see you guys in the other half after this short break. We'll come back with our reactions from the Bethesda conference, so don't go anywhere.
I watched the most recent episode of Jersey Shore. Wait, that I watched. One of the girls crapped herself.
Brad, we gotta go.
And she was like laughing it off, ha, 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 ha. But then everyone was like, "Dude, you crapped your pants! Like,
why are you still
you
here?
You can't just laugh that off." And she didn't understand why people kept talking about it, but she crapped her pants.
All right, you know what? That's a good way to open the show. Welcome back to our first E3 2018 podcast, everybody. We have now officially gotten through two of the press conferences.
Three.
I'm not really counting EA.
I'm talking about Devolver.
Oh shit, Devolver.
Yeah, I count Devolver.
Devolver. We'll talk a little bit about Devolver.
People are so mean to EA. No, I mean EA sucks, but they still make games people care about.
Dude, I'm only saying that because they literally removed themselves from the festivities of E3. They're doing their own totally separate thing. E3 doesn't even acknowledge that they're part of E3 anymore.
Like Microsoft left E3 too. They're across the fucking street
now. No. E3's press conference yesterday, Brad, was not EA, that was not E3. That was not an E3 event.
EA's entire booth, quote unquote, happened in an event that ended today. You can't, if you're going to, if
so
like,
you can't play.
You can't. No, you can't play anything.
No,
unless you went to their thing that happened today, yesterday, and today. So that's unfortunate.
Y'all do know Microsoft is not in the convention center.
Yes,
right?
I know.
Okay,
but they're still part of E3, and they're just in a different location. Yeah. They're just across the street. Anyways, that's beyond the point. Anyways, we are now through three press conferences. We're going to talk a little... God damn it, Brad, you're killing me. We talked about Microsoft in the first segment. We have Bethesda to go through now, and we'll talk a little bit about Devolver at the end. We're going to keep this train rolling because Bethesda had some stuff.
Couple things,
I suppose.
Who likes those Elder Scrolls Online?
You're getting ahead of us.
Okay. The card game.
We're going to go in order.
Okay.
We're going to go in order. Okay, first of all, Bethesda's had some pretty good stuff in the past. It's been kind of hit or miss. Like when you,
they make fine games.
No, they make it's great. They make great. I'm talking about their press conferences. It's one year it's great, the next year it's not so great.
But I mean, it's never that many things though, because they only have that so many projects.
That is true.
Accurate.
So, of course, we open with Pete Hines coming on stage, and we got our first look at Rage 2, which was this weird amalgamation of stuff. We had to sit through an entire Andrew WK performance before we even got to the trailer.
It looked interesting.
Had to sit through. We got to enjoy.
No,
the problem is the game looks fun and fine. Those are, and I'll be happy to play it. But they're like overselling it.
That's so sad.
Well, I think.
Right? I mean, what I'm seeing in the gameplay is not reflective of how hard they're trying.
Okay, here's the thing. I think they really were anticipating that being the first time anybody knew about the game. Like, but sure. By the time it was leaked, it was far too late. They couldn't change anything.
But that shit was they didn't just throw those trailers together. They like the ones that they showed.
No, but like I think everybody would have been a lot more jazzed watching that had they literally just found out Rage 2 even existed at that very moment. So yeah, they showed a good chunk of Rage 2. That it was kind of a disjointed presentation for it though. Like it wasn't like a walkthrough demo. It was doing all these awkward cuts between different things, showing off the combat and stuff. I think first of all, I think the combat in this game, like the gunplay, looks incredibly satisfying. It's very fun, very frenetic. It reminded me a little bit of Bulletstorm.
Bulletstorm, Doom.
Yeah. Maybe better than, I mean, I think better than Bulletstorm, but like, and also like borrowing from some of the best parts of Doom as well. I always like the, what do they call them?
What color name is that? What does that even say?
Egg rolls. That says egg rolls, Brad. I'm pretty sure. I can't read it.
Egg rolly?
you're killing the podcast.
Sorry. Right? We do a live show here, folks.
We do a live show. Here.
Yeah, we don't have enough awkward silences.
Yeah.
By the way,
like press conferences.
Speaking of awkward silences.
We channeled Devolver Digital there.
No,
weird.
No, I think we channeled Bethesda there. It was so bizarre at the Bethesda conference because it was almost like... it was bizarre because it's like they would stop after every two words.
They would say a sentence, pause for applause. Say a sentence, pause for applause.
Yeah. It was painful, like watching, like trying to get through some of the stuff to get to the game. Like, when they first did their press conferences, like the first one, I think they actually had like the production kind of down, and it keeps getting like worse. Like, they just keep getting a little more cringy every year and like getting
the
awkward pauses.
The fuck they're doing,
I don't know, it's kind of a mess. Anyways, so y'all, what do y'all think about Rage 2?
I mean, it looks cool.
It looks
I'm gonna try it when it comes out.
Looks interesting.
Like the whole presentation of like you know, the Andrew WK, that trailer of like crazy. I think they're trying too hard. I think the game looks fine.
Yeah.
You know, it looks fun. But like, oh, the power up makes the screen pink because, you know, fucking crazy colors like pink.
Vibrant. Yeah. It's like everybody wants to do like the drab, weary, like post-apocalyptic wasteland, but they also want it to be really fun and non-electric colors and just
but,
weird.
I mean, but it does, you know, it's easy to kind of like scoff at that stuff, but it's also like, it does look a hell of a lot more visually interesting than the original Rage.
There's a lot of, oh yeah, hell yeah. There's a lot of stuff too that Avalanche has to pull from.
Yeah.
That you know, if they learned a few things from making Mad Max, and they learned a few things from making the original Rage, and you know, they learned a few things doing Just Cause, and they just like throw that all together into a big shooter.
Yeah.
You know, that could be really cool.
Absolutely.
If they learned the right lessons.
Absolutely. I really wish they had focused more time on like what the world, how the world is structured, or the vehicle combat, because the vehicle combat is like the one thing that I think was really unique about Mad Max, and I would love to see them expand upon that.
Hey, what they showed in Rage looked interesting. It does. We just didn't really hear any or know any. We don't know anything about it.
And then what was that weird? There was a weird like advertisement for the Collector's Edition in the middle of the presentation.
That was shameless.
That's Bethesda.
That was so bizarre.
The first time we're seeing the game, really, and they're just cut to Collector's Edition.
And then they moved on to Doom Eternal. We finally got our announcement for Doom 2, which we all kind of, I think, were expecting Doom 2 Hell on Earth. Mm-hmm. Now, here's my question. This is literally just Doom 2, right? This isn't like some kind of weird multiplayer offshoot or anything?
Don't think so. Battle Royale mode?
Eternal strikes me as some kind of like weird subtitle you throw in like a multiplayer game or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but they said it's the next Doom game.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. I just wanted to
Don't
make sure.
Call it Doom 5.
It's Doom 2. We're calling it Doom 2. This is the second proper Doom since they rebooted Doom. Anyways, that looks cool. It showed Hell on Earth. They showed a stoplight. We kind of picked up that it was on Earth. It showed some cool looking demons. Not a whole lot to go off there, but I'm sure that'll be sometime next year. Not really a whole lot to say there. I could not believe they spent so much time talking about Quake Champions.
Yeah.
Again, I thought that game came out and we were done. We were never going to have to hear about that ever again.
Quake has the most inviting community.
Oh my
Welcomes
God.
Every
most
Quake dad and Quake baby.
I cannot believe they touted that.
Hopping into like a proper Quake match with people who know what they're doing is pretty much like the curve or the skill divide is probably bigger than any game I can think of. It's like insane.
But yeah, it kind of reeked of desperation.
A little bit.
Well, I mean, it's a thing they made that cost money.
No, I know.
They gotta try to make people care.
I get it. It was just one of those things where it's kind of, you know, it's just kind of like I was hoping I wouldn't spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes in a press conference hearing about Quake Champions again. But hey, they did it. It's still happening. They're trying to get people back into that game, so that's cool. And then we got... Well, at some point, we got some Elder Scrolls stuff. I didn't really write the Elder Scrolls
stuff
down.
That's
all right.
None of us care.
Cool. Yeah.
The mobile game, they seemed like they really cared about.
Oh, yeah. I was going to bring that up at the end, but...
Okay.
Sorry. We'll keep going. Prey. Finally announced some Prey DLC.
The first one seems kind of dumb. Prop Hunt seems kind of cool. Yeah.
So, sadly, like, neither of these things are,
but
like,
I wanted.
You're saying Moon Crash looks
the roguelike thing. Yeah.
The roguelike
thing.
Mostly just because it's a roguelike.
Because everything they showed of it was pure, like, crazy combat.
So yeah, and that's my thing. Honestly, all of the Prey I played, I wasn't playing because I enjoyed the combat. The combat was okay. It was, I enjoyed exploring that ship or whatever, the space station. And I enjoyed encountering people and learning about this universe and learning about this world. And yeah, encountering some aliens and taking them out in weird ways. But first, fucking quick saving, because it's not like the combat in that game is like super like accurate. I don't know. I just always had kind of like issues.
Yeah, it's definitely real flowy.
Which can be, I think, a problem with a roguelike in that setting. Like, I feel like I would just die a lot.
And it just...
I feel like we got a lot of action front-loaded because it's a trailer.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, the concept of a roguelike thing set in the Prey game universe
could be cool.
Or whatever, like, does not sound immediately bad to me.
I certainly want to try both these things. It's just sad because we already kind of...
Because roguelike is usually really, really... lends itself really well to exploration-type games. And that, I mean, I think we all agree that was what Prey really fucking nailed.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of space and exploration.
Sure. I'm not sure. I'm questionable as to whether either one of these DLCs are going to kind of capitalize on the kind of the horror aspects of Prey, which I really like the slower pace, just like creeping around, like exploring this environment was really cool. But and you know, it's more of just like, we know we're probably not gonna get a Prey 2, you know what I mean? Like, I was really hoping for one more, like one last hurrah of like proper Prey gameplay, but
I was hoping for like a standalone thing like what Dishonored did.
Oh yeah, like set on the moon.
Yeah,
which would have been cool.
That's what standalone game. That's you know maybe a third of the length of the proper game. But absolutely, yeah, that's what I wanted.
Absolutely. So that's kind of unfortunate.
Well, if these do well.
But but you know, honestly, the other one, the second one called Typhon Hunter, sounds pretty cool because it's basically prop hunt.
I mean, I'm not crazy. No one in here kind of confirmed it, but doesn't Call of Duty have prop hunt now?
I think so.
I don't know.
None of us play Call of Duty, Red.
Yeah. You know, but it's like popular.
So. That doesn't mean anything.
I'm talking about Chris Davis.
Chat. Why don't we ask chat? And King Carey says,
here's my thing with the Typhon Hunter thing, is it seems like it was like 1v5 is what they said. Or 5v1.
Yeah, 5v1.
And that just, I don't know how exciting that is to me. So it's one hunter and five like mimics?
I think so, yeah.
Or was it five hunters and one Typhon?
That wouldn't make sense. That's
I don't know how this stuff works.
No, it's probably five mimics, one hunter.
Correct.
Right? Anyway, I'm going to try them anyways, just because I like Prey a lot. Yeah. And I'll take more Prey where I can get it. But a little bit of a disappointment there. They talked about a new Wolfenstein, which this is actually looks like it's going to be a standalone expansion standalone project called.
I believe
you
pronounced it
Youngblood.
Wolfenstein
Youngblood. Wolfenstein Youngblood, which is actually set in the same, you know, obviously the same universe as Wolfenstein 2, but it's like, I guess it's pretty far in the future in where the you 80s. Play as
BJ Blazkowicz.
BJ Blazkowicz's twin daughters, which is cool. That sounds like a cool premise, but at its core, I'm kind of sure it's gonna feel and play more like
maybe people care that it's co-op.
Yeah, that certainly is gonna be where it's gonna probably add the most, you know, the one wrinkle to the formula.
Yeah.
I'm just ready for a new Wolfenstein. Am I right?
All right, Brad. Yes, Lane, you want to get off your chest? I can tell.
Wolfenstein 3, baby.
Woo!
We know how you feel about machine games. You think? What do you think?
I think they're really dope. I think it's wasted talent at this point. This is their fourth Wolfenstein game in how many years?
True, but also I think Wolfenstein is one of the brands that pays the bills.
I don't
for
think
Bethesda.
So. I think Wolfenstein 2 actually underperformed. So it's actually kind of weird to see this.
I don't know, but I'm going to play it. They also announced a second Wolfenstein project called Cyberpilot.
Yeah.
Which is a VR experience where you can like hack Nazi technology and like use it against them and stuff.
Correct.
They didn't show it, but they did kind of imply that it's going to be playable on the show floor.
You're
going
to be able to play as a Panzerhund or whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct, Chris Davis?
Yes.
That could be cool. That could be cool. I don't know. All right. We've made it to the big one. Todd Howard came out.
Mm-hmm.
Elder Scrolls 6.
He crushed my hopes and dreams.
But Nick.
I know.
Nick.
Let me have it.
You can take over a nuke facility.
Don't get me wrong.
Nuke other people.
Fallout 76 looks fun.
Yeah, also, you weren't ready
I hope
for
you're not joking
Fallout,
about that,
because right?
That sounds so awesome.
One expect or two really want a new single-player Fallout right now?
I'm just of the mind that if they're going to make a Fallout game, I want it to be a single-player experience.
But
that's really
still
going to
make that.
But Nick, I can do is I can go on a map and I can meet a friendly person and play with them and help him build a base and then stand back and watch as he spends hundreds of hours on an elaborate base and then nuke it.
That's what makes you an asshole. That's what makes you an asshole.
That would be awesome.
Don't get me wrong. Here's the only reason I'm a little bit disappointed by this. And by the way, let me just say, I do think Fallout 76 looks fun as hell. And I'm probably going to play it. I'm kind of in the same boat with this as I am with Anthem. I think it looks like fun, and I'm probably going to play it. But I just like what, so here, here's my thing. Like, if I want to play Fallout, I want to play Fallout. I don't want to have to worry about trying to get together with a bunch of friends to play Fallout.
You can play by yourself. But one thing that was curious, and I asked you in chat, also noticed it. In all the video footage of Fallout 76 we've seen so far, we haven't seen a single NPC.
Yep.
Like a person you just walk up to and interact with.
That's not true.
With.
We saw
Cogsworth or whatever, the robot. Yeah. But that's like in most Fallout games generally, you've gone up to Preston Garvey of sorts or someone, interact with them, and they give you a quest. Now, sure. We have heard that there are going to be quests and stuff in this, but we at least as of now haven't seen any of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They didn't really spend a lot of time highlighting that. I mean, one thing I think is interesting, first of all, I think the world looks really cool because it's just so, you know, it's such a different time period than we're used to.
And also a bunch of new creatures, too.
New enemies look pretty cool. Yeah. The atmosphere, the tone's cool. The fact that it's four times bigger than Fallout 4 sounds cool. All that sounds great. I think it was kind of interesting that, obviously, it's because this is a multiplayer game, you don't play with VATS. It's basically just a first-person shooter set in the Fallout universe.
And I will say that Fallout 4 definitely had the best shooting of any Fallout game
so
far.
True.
Actually was pretty good in that game.
It looks like it could be a lot of fun. I guess my question is this. Okay, so they did say you can play it single-player.
Mm-hmm.
But they did imply correctly that this is online connection required no matter what.
You can play single-player, but there will be other people in the world who are other players. You just don't need to play with them necessarily.
But if I'm not connected to the internet, can I play this?
No, this is not that kind of game.
I don't think so.
This is a Rust-like.
Yeah.
See, that's where I'm disappointed, man.
Sure. But, I mean, it's like when Nosgoth came out, I wouldn't have been mad if like I knew there was a real Legacy of Kain game coming down the line. But
like,
wasn't
dude,
the case.
But we're going to talk about this at the end, but the next two projects aren't Fallout. This is the only Fallout in the foreseeable future.
Nick, we just had a Fallout.
I know. But I want to get excited for this one with everybody else.
Nick,
that's my problem.
Did you finish 4?
That's not the point.
Then go play that.
I'm going to.
There you go. There's your Fallout.
I think the mistake is getting excited by any Fallout game.
Why?
Like, no, they're great games, and I love them, and I enjoy them, but
I would really not have been ready for a new one.
But the amount
I wasn't
of,
either, but we got one, and I wanted to be excited about it.
Ambient hype just in the atmosphere anytime somebody even hints at a Fallout game is completely disproportionate.
I am not saying that I wanted them to announce a new Fallout game. I think it's too soon.
Well, then you should just go play Skyrim on your Amazon Echo.
I just...
That would have been cool. That was probably
the best moment of the Bethesda
that
press
was.
Conference.
Yes, their funny like joke about Skyrim coming out on Alexa and your refrigerator.
Yeah.
That was great with Key Michael Key. That was so good.
Yeah.
But like
they should have just had more of that.
That was the best part. I do like the whole thing about being able to like track down the launch codes for the nukes and fire them. And so do they kind of imply that you can fire the nukes into an area, like nuke it and then go explore that?
Yeah, you know,
that
that's a thing. That's
so
like,
what does that mean for the map? Is it persistent? Like, is your world persistently like that?
Well, he said, here's the weird thing. He said there's no servers, which is a weird thing to me. Like in most, like Brad was saying, a Rust style game, when you log in, you choose where you want to go. Oh, I want to log into this server and play here.
Yeah.
But he was saying that this has no servers. So yeah, that's going to be very interesting.
I think it's more random.
He said a dedicated server.
I know he said dedicated.
You're never going to see a server.
But he said you're never going to see a server.
It's
is
the
what
way.
He said.
That's the way fucking.
Oh, so
Destiny
you don't make the choice.
Is.
It just kind of assigns you one.
And so that was my other question. Is he mentioned you can move your base? And they showed that kind of collapsible, almost TF2, like, turret-style thing. Yeah, the camp little box that you set it down in and it unfolds and stuff. And I'm just curious as to how movable and stuff that is. So, like, if I log out of the server, does my base come with me?
That's a good question.
Because the cool thing about Rust was that, like, if you just had to go to fucking sleep, there could be someone, like, trying to break into your fucking house. And all of a sudden you're, like, calling your friends, like, wake the fuck up, we're being attacked.
Yeah.
See, I like that stuff.
The good news is,
like, they are doing a beta for this, so yes. I will definitely jump into the beta, and that's a good opportunity for me to try it out and decide if it's something I want to actually try to play. It's coming out November 14th, 2018, so that's definitely a 2018 game, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And we'll be playing, I bet you were saying there was rumors about July, so maybe the beta is going to be in July. They didn't say when
the
beta is not up right now. Apparently their site did go down just because everyone's trying to find out about it. But yeah, that would make sense that maybe July is the beta.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, Fallout 76. I'm cautiously optimistic. I just want to kind of play it myself a little bit before I make a decision either way.
The thing is, I'm like you, right? I don't typically see myself playing this kind of game, but you know,
it looks cool.
Like some games just aren't for you or us or me. You know?
Oh, I get it. Okay. I get it. I totally get it.
It's coming from a healthy company, so I ain't worried.
Yeah, I'm really not happy about the new direction that Devil May Cry is taking. So,
well, this guy never cared. Well, about
now Crispy's just trying to fucking jab at me. Oh my god!
All right, Nick, what else was in the
fucking
the
press, Elder Scrolls Blades?
Elder Scrolls Blades.
Well, they also announced Fallout Shelter coming to
everything.
Just coming to console, yeah, everything.
Console, including Switch, which is cool.
That is cool. But yeah, Blades, it looks kind of not great. The weird thing is it's like when they showed it, and I'm like, oh yeah, this looks like an Elder Scrolls game on mobile, and they're like, yeah, and it's going to be on PC, and I'm like, why would I play that?
So play a good game on your PC.
Yeah, like why would I play a mobile-based game that's very like slow and clicky and kind of like on my PC? Like why would I do that?
I recommend the Legend of Grimrock series.
Now he did mention
I've always wanted
that is a good game. He did mention that you. I think he was saying you could play it across them, so I could play it on my phone and then maybe pick it up on my PC. And
yeah,
maybe that would be good.
He did imply that's persistent.
If I'm like at my desk at home and like my phone's battery's low, I could just maybe play it there if I really want to for some reason, but I still don't really understand why
I don't foresee a lot of people playing this.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong. Fallout Shelter is huge for them. This is another free project.
Mm-hmm. It seems weird that like they built this coming out of the success of Fallout Shelter, and they're like, okay, well, we need to get a similar product going for Elder Scrolls, right? And it seems kind of like the way they were not the way they're presenting it, but like he said, oh, the main part of the game is your village, and it seems like everything is just kind of like pouring back into building up this village that you have, right? But that's not at all. They didn't like show hardly any of that. They just showed like really clunky, like point and click dungeon crawling.
He also mentioned that, oh, you know, Susie over here in her office playing in portrait mode could be playing against somebody on VR. Like she, that was weird. I didn't really understand that what he mentioned when he said that.
Definitely weird.
I recommend FTL. There was something mentioned
that was going to be in VR that kind of excited me. That I was like, oh, I might play that. What was that?
Well, they said a lot of these experiences. I mean, the prop hunt thing they said was going to be in VR.
That was it.
That
yeah,
really,
I think that was the one.
That really kind of rings of something that, like, their executive board or their shareholders were like, oh, well, you got a good one with Fallout. Do another one for this other franchise you got. Like, they don't.
Yeah, kind of reach.
I don't think Todd's up there selling it, you guys are gonna love this.
And that's what I said. Like when Todd was like selling the game, I'm like, he didn't even look that excited about it. I'm sure it's just, like you said, it's a scenario where the people who have the money and make the decisions were like, this one made us money, do this now. And he's like, okay, boss.
Absolutely. And then the last two for Bethesda obviously are the two big ones, but they're also the least
the two smallest. Yeah,
two smallest. Obviously, they came out and they were, you know, they showed the next big next big original IP.
Finally, a confirmation that Starfield is
the first new IP in 25 years from Bethesda.
Okay, what does that mean? Why does everyone like? What is Starfield?
It's their next big RPG.
No, but I mean, everybody was like sitting here talking about like, oh, Starfield. They're gonna announce Starfield. Oh my god, I hope they show Starfield.
It's been leaked
I've never
for a long
heard
time.
Of this.
It's been leaked for a long time.
It leaked a long time ago.
What is it supposed to be?
It's Elder Scrolls in space.
Yeah. It's Fallout or Elder Scrolls set in a sci-fi world.
They make one type of game. Now they're doing one in space, and that is fucking exciting because
it changes
what
everything.
Is great about Elder Scrolls is not really these universes, it's that type of game that they make.
I
in space, okay. Crispy.
No, I just it seemed like everybody kind of was on it.
No, they were.
Like knew what this thing was.
Because people
and
were like,
that's all that exists.
When are they going to reveal
it? Is that little 5 seconds of this?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This
didn't
leak like more than 2 years.
All we knew was what, you know.
Was the word Starfield?
Yeah. And then it would be futuristic.
And I think people were expecting tonight to find out
what
definitively
is.
What that was, but instead
showed a spaceship, right?
Showed a satellite.
I think people were expecting our first like playable demo.
Sure,
or something.
A satellite that got sucked into a black hole or something.
You know,
but
probably been working on this since Fallout 4 concluded.
Probably,
but whatever. Like this was a fair tease. What came after it, it was bullshit.
Complete. Because the thing is, they said that Starfield was a next gen game.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
which implies Starfield's we're not even current gen.
Which means we're not going to be playing this on PS4 or Xbox One.
Or well, not necessarily.
Theoretically,
we're not going to be playing it in the next year.
They're hedging their bets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they did announce what comes after the game that they have not like finished working on.
Started making.
They have a game they couldn't even show us anything beyond a you know the smallest of teasers, and then they decided to show us something beyond that.
Yeah.
Which is of course what everyone's expecting is Elder Scrolls 6.
Yeah, I mean it's not even like it doesn't even have a name.
Yeah, not even a subtitle.
I mean, in fact, the logo is just the Elder Scrolls like font.
Yeah.
So even that's not new.
With the number six.
The biggest thing with the tease here was they were trying to kind of hint at the setting of this world. I don't know Elder Scrolls lore enough to kind of know what they were teasing.
It looked like nature. It looked like a fantasy setting. Whatever.
Mm. But it looked like an oceanside.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. There was a big. Yeah, the ocean like bumped up right against the edge of the continent. Dude.
I don't know. You guys, if you're assuming that isn't anything beyond them just like looking at generic Elder Scrolls assets they have and going, put the logo over that.
I agree. Like, I honestly don't think what we saw is going to be in the game. I really don't.
Do you know?
I think Todd was saying he was just like, guys, don't forget we make Skyrim or Elder Scrolls games, not just Skyrim, and we're working on the next one.
Dude, Puffin Cloud in chat says, forget about Elder Scrolls 6; it's at least 3 years away. Dude, I think Starfield is at least 3 years away.
I my guess is 2022 to 2023.
Don't say those years. Gross.
Right? Right? That sounds like a fucking million years from now.
Future.
But honestly,
that's the world we live in.
Henry will be in elementary school.
That's when I think that game will come out. 2022 to 2024. Somewhere around there.
Elder Scrolls is. I once bought an Elder Scrolls like fictional novel. You know, like a novel.
Yeah.
And like I was about to read it, and then I was like, come on. There can't be anything in here that's even remotely interesting.
Yeah, I don't know.
Dude, you know what would
have... The Golden Spire.
What, you know
and
what,
I read all the Dragon
I honestly would have been impressed if Todd would have announced a game after Elder Scrolls 6. If he's like, but you know what?
Yeah,
after that...
making a fucking joke.
If he's like releasing games or talking about games that they're going to release in like a decade...
If we're still a company...
If we haven't gone under.
It's just kind of sad because it's like, you know, the only reason they even did that was because, like, the top-of-the-line management at Bethesda are probably having stress dreams of, like, oh my god, if we don't say something about Elder Scrolls at E3 this year, we're going to get eviscerated.
Puffin Cloud's like, oh, well, unless they hire an outside developer, but they're not going to do that for their core game. Like Avalanche did Rage 2. Obsidian did Fallout Vegas.
They would never hire Obsidian to make Fallout 5.
Like, Bethesda is going to be the company who makes Fallout and Elder Scrolls games. That's it. They're not going to, like... And the fact that Starfield is a new IP, they're not going to, you know, sell that out to someone either. Like, these are games they're making in-house. Like, the thing is, like, Fallout 76, they didn't make that. You know, or they didn't make all of it. I mean, they outsourced...
They canceled the game.
Battlecry, which is now Bethesda. That's what I'm saying. They wanted to make that game, but they didn't want to spend all of their time on that. And they also, I don't want to say they don't care as much.
It almost came across as like, we're going to buy the studio and rename it Bethesda just because we don't want any other name other than Bethesda Studios on that game.
No, it's because the name of the studio was super embarrassing.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they were named after a project that got canceled.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's also the fact that, like I said, this is a Fallout game, and so they wanted to put Bethesda on it. But once again, this is not like this is literally Fallout 4's engine just reimagined. Like a bunch of the assets, I'm sure, 90% of the assets are the same, and stuff like that. So I mean, it's literally they're like, hey guys, we made this game, change up the map, make it a little bit bigger.
He was talking about new technology that was incorporated into the engine, which I'm sure sounded cool, but you know, that's all marketing speak. So. I don't know. There's things to be excited about here. And don't get me wrong. I'm excited for Starfield. I'm excited to see what Elder Scrolls 6 actually is. But both those games are... We're going to see those games again for at least 2 or 3 more E3s before we even get our hands on it. Or not. Or it could just vanish. We never hear about it again until it's like almost
3
ready to come
out. 3 years from now, we're going to be like, remember when fucking Todd Howard said Elder Scrolls 6?
Remember when they first like really revealed Skyrim? Tears, man.
You mean the official gameplay
trailer?
Yeah,
like that first one.
I still watch that trailer at least like... every other
the
month.
The one with the music, the Dragon
yes,
one.
Yes, yes. Yes. And compare that to how cheap this bullshit was.
Someone send me that trailer because I don't remember it.
Dude, Nick, I have it bookmarked. I please. Fucking love that.
We'll
trailer.
Watch it. We'll watch it. All right, we need to, let's right. We have a couple more things to cover. That was Bethesda.
Yeah.
We actually stuck around and watched the Devolver Digital
so far,
conference.
Best conference of the year.
Holy shit.
By far.
They wow. Well,
it's just I fucking love that everything we made fun of in EA and in Microsoft and Bethesda, they almost touched on all of it in yeah. their conference. Like, the fucking, his, like,
the awkward 45 pauses.
Second spiel of, like, fucking key phrases and words,
and like,
just, like, making, strung together.
Like, stringing together, like, the most complicated bullshit marketing speak. Yeah. Like, that was so good.
It's, I mean, that, and he's like, that's what you're here for. And the second lady, you know, I forget her name now, I always forget her name.
Nina?
Nina comes out, and she's, Nina? Like, talking about, oh, and we're just gonna fucking take your money because you pay for it. You give us, like, just straight up saying, like, you buy the dumbest shit.
I mean, it's kind of nice, like they don't, they're making jokes, but they're yeah. also, like, not beating around the bush. So
they
want
they
your money.
They walk this really weird line between satire and lampshade hanging.
Devolver always like, has. I mean, look at the games. They published
no,
a game
I know
called fucking Penis in the Butthole.
Genital
Joust. Genital jousting. Sure. Devolver published
a
game about a penis going in a butt.
They're the cool publisher. I know. Like,
did they show that at the conference last year?
They did not.
No.
That...
Offsite.
We saw that.
It. They weren't going to put it on the big screen, but they published
Dude,
it.
Dude, I felt weird sitting at their booth, like, playing that.
Yeah.
Especially considering I was out on the street.
You remember when that one, like, kid came up?
Dude, the best part was the best part of Devolver was that part where, like, they were doing a show, and you just see the kid walk up in the background and, like, sit down. They're like, somebody get him. He can't get him
he
off.
He can't
that.
Play that.
That He's was playing, the day before
that young child is playing yeah. Genital Justice.
That was the day before they replaced all the controllers with dildos.
Yep.
Nick, those weird feelings that you were experiencing playing Genital Jousting, that's called a boner.
Thanks, Brad. I wasn't entirely
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, so they did talk about a couple things.
Yeah, so they had only three announcements, but most of them look pretty cool. The first one was Scum,
yeah,
which looks funny and cool and creative. It looks like they dropped Crow Team in there.
No, but Nick, it's an online battle royale game. You're not supposed to be excited.
I don't have
about
the highest expectations from games.
You're not allowed to be excited about that, Nick.
I don't even know how to respond.
It looks good.
How to respond.
You know what I want? The Talos Principle 2.
Ah, damn.
I would love the Talos Principle 2.
That's stupid.
I was surprised we didn't... Wait, where are we going to see... They keep talking about Serious Sam. What is the thing at?
$150.
Holy God. Okay, so that was the funny... They brought up Loot Coin Box. Right? That's what it's called?
Loot Box Coin.
Loot Box Coin.
They brought up the fact that people buy loot boxes... And they're dumb. And they bought up the fact that cryptocurrency is now a big thing. And they're
and
like, you know
dumb.
What? We're going to sell you something that has no value. You can't, like, trade it. You don't know what it's actually worth. And blah, blah, blah.
Well,
and then,
worth.
Yeah, well, it's not. I mean, it's worth whatever you pay for, I guess, because you bought it.
I guess, but you can't exchange it for
yeah.
that value.
I mean, I guess they can do that, can't they?
I mean,
they can do whatever they
it's
want.
It's basically, do you want to spend $150 to be one of the cool kids who's yeah. in on the joke?
Yep. So yeah. the thing is, they were saying, like cryptocurrency, its price is going to fluctuate every hour. So at one point it was 132, and then 113, now it's 150. Yeah.
Is there a ceiling? They're not going to let somebody pay more?
Dude, if someone wants to pay $1,000 for it, they're not going to say no, Nick. She said that.
I know.
She was like, give us your money.
I admit she's basically, yeah, you're not wrong.
This is like their version of Cards Against Humanity.
Yeah, the Cards Against Humanity will do dumb stuff like the what was the box of shit or whatever?
Yeah, box of bullshit.
Box of bullshit. Do you remember that, Nick?
No.
On Cards Against Humanity, was that Black Friday?
Oh, yes, where it was actual...
Black Friday or something like
actual
that.
Actual cow
it
shit.
It was a box of bullshit, and if you bought it, they literally sent you a box that had cow shit in it.
Not to mention the holiday hole.
They the holiday hole where every person who paid money, they would dig a hole deeper. And that's it. They dug a big hole.
So this isn't the first time we've seen this kind of behavior.
Yeah,
all that stuff seems illegal.
You know, the one thing the one thing that I am genuinely excited to play from Devolver Digital was My Friend Pedro. I think that game looks
fucking
that
awesome.
Game looks so
that
fun.
Looks
like just doing all kind of acrobatics and like slow-mo
shooting.
Slow-mo. Like, and like the fact he threw that frying pan in the air and then shot the guns and like ricocheted the bullets off and do different directions. Like, that stuff looks crazy fun. I really hope they have that on the floor because I would love to try that game. Well, they're probably going to have that in their booth.
No, I'm sure they will. Oh, no, 100% they will.
And then they announced a remaster of
Metal Wolf Chaos.
A localization remaster of Metal Wolf Chaos, which is really kind of cool and exciting because it was an original Xbox game that only came out in Japan. Mm-hmm. Which, think about that, an Xbox
game. Yeah, an Xbox
game. That only came out in Japan from Software. It was a mech game. You were a mech. You were the president in a crazy mech.
I can't believe
it. It's kind of loved for its... because it did have English back in the day. Like, mm-hmm. the cutscenes had spoken English. And it was
Well, that's what you're saying. The remaster of this has all the original English.
Yeah, yeah. Which is the original voice because acting. It's, like, insane. I was watching... On Friday, we were watching cutscenes from that game.
Yeah.
The shit was so fucking funny. It's so funny. And it's cool because there was really no good way to play it because original Xbox emulators kind of don't exist.
Yeah.
Like, in any proper form. So there was really no good way to play that fucking thing. And so this is pretty cool.
According to Bisk in chat, Metal Wolf Chaos is a missile launcher that shoots sharks.
Absolutely, I'm in.
Cool.
Yeah, that's happening. Also, quick shot. I thought that was that when they were doing the whole spiel about what other conferences do to distract you from like the shit they're actually showing and stuff. And then they were talking about cameos, and then Greg Miller came on. Mm. that whole shtick was really funny. Like, I like their conference was by far the most entertaining.
Yeah,
dude, to watch.
Hologram. Yeah, Dave Lang hologram. The fact that like this conference I had a big fucking dumb goofy grin on my face the whole time.
Yeah, I can't believe the fucking URL they used for Metal Wolf Chaos though. Yeah. MechAmericaGreatAgain.com. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Okay, I think that just about sums up the day. It's been fun. We appreciate everybody who stuck around and hung out with us today and watched all the conferences and joined us for our live commentary. Like I said, we're going to be traveling tomorrow, but we're going to be in LA in time to live commentate the Sony press conference, and we'll do some post-show reactions to Ubisoft and Square Enix once we get to where we're going. So hopefully you guys can join us for that tomorrow. Stay tuned. We'll post our times when we're going to be live on Twitter and stuff, and Discord, which you can find
tomorrow. I'll be live with Square Enix.
Yeah, Brad's gonna do Square Enix. Wait, did you say you're gonna do Ubisoft? Maybe Ubisoft.
Ubisoft is a maybe for now.
Okay, Brad is going to be commentating at least Square Enix tomorrow.
Henry's gotta go to the doctor.
Yeah. So, and then after that, you can catch me and Crispy and Chris Davis from LA. We'll be live commentating Sony. And yeah, we'll be in LA all week. We'll be on the show floor playing stuff and recording podcasts every night per usual. We're also doing a community meetup on Thursday night if you're interested in going or if you think you might be able to attend. If you're in the area, please go to 4playernetwork.com, find the post, and leave us an RSVP in the comments. We just want to have like an idea of how many people to expect.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be Thursday after the show floor closes. And yeah, we hope you guys will join us. We're excited. We still have Square Enix, Ubisoft, and Sony, and Nintendo. Nintendo's Tuesday morning, so mm-hmm. we'll be live commentating that as well before we head to the show floor, I think. Yeah. The show floor, I think, opens pretty late on Tuesday. So yeah, we still got more conferences to go. There's already been some pretty exciting stuff, and we're very much looking forward to seeing what they have in store for us tomorrow. So, good night. And I guess we'll see y'all tomorrow.
E3, bitch.
E3, bitch!